Bo Welling joins us, Bo. Thanks so much for being with us. You're one of the hottest names in architecture, and I think that's a really great opportunity to talk about being a tastemaker in architecture. What is that like, being kind of the forefront of the projects people are talking about in the game?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I think about it, you know, being at the forefront. But, you know, we certainly have been very fortunate to work on a lot of really interesting projects and here recently, and super excited about that. I think many, many moons ago, I was a competitive golfer, which sort of led me to this. And it was sort of the test of the game, sort of greens, tees, and bunkers is why I got into this trade. But I quickly started realizing that the projects I really liked were something that were so much more than just greens, tees, and bunkers. They really were about sort of building and promoting community, so human things of, you know, friendships and camaraderie. And so I think a lot of what we're really trying to do in our work is to try to use golf and golf developments to try to further that, whether that be, you know, relationships amongst friends or family or meeting new people. You know, I think that's what's really special. You just mentioned that you were joined Old Barnwell, which is in my state of South Carolina. And I think that I'm sure the golf course will be great, but I imagine that the community of people that will be there that you'll spend time with is going to be something that's going to be so super special. And so in any event, we've been fortunate to work on a lot of great projects here recently that we think are doing that kind of thing, which, you know, coming out of this pandemic, I think we all realize that humans really need to be around other humans. And so in any event, golf's a great way to do that.
I feel like mission has played an important role, certainly in Old Barnwell, but I hear that more and more frequently about places that are springing up, maybe not clubs that are restoring or renovating, but certainly places that are brand new. And whether that's at the municipal level, you know, the state-backed level, or whether that's a private club, it seems like the community is a big piece of that. How do you feel architecture plays a role in making that work?
So I think golf architecture is critical to that, at least in our, through our lens. And so we tend to be big tent people as it relates to golf design, in that we really want all levels of play to be able to come and have fun and enjoy being together again on the golf course. And we're sort of data people. And, you know, if you look at the distribution of handicaps in the United States, you know, male or female, there, it's not a, you know, Gaussian distribution. It's not a bell curve. It's actually skewed more to the right. And so there are a lot more higher handicappers than there are lower handicappers. And so I think way we approach design is we want to cater really to across that spectrum. And I think what you have to realize is that that spectrum wants something very different out of the golf experience. So a good player really wants to be challenged and tested, but a not so good player really wants to feel like they have a chance and to feel like it's accessible. And so to us, that really means width off the tee and sort of dialing up strength and challenge as you get around greens and greens complexes. And if you look at the sort of money ball of all of this, the strokes gained, you know, where the better player outperforms the lesser player is really disproportionately with long shots. And so, again, our take is sort of, you know, wide off the tee, challenge more at the greens. And you'd say, well, that, can you do that? Can you challenge the best players and still have it be super playable? And, you know, my proof point number one is always Augusta National, because it's exactly that. It's extraordinarily wide, but obviously very challenging at the greens. And I think if you even peel back Augusta National a little bit and read what Bobby Jones talked about, you know, he talked about wanting to have a golf experience that didn't overly penalize a poor shot, but rather created the opportunity for good shots to be rewarded. And even that offline shot, there was a chance of sort of the daring recovery is what he called it, but always a chance to kind of get your way play back into the hole. So anyway, that's kind of what we try to do. You know, one of the projects we've just finished doing is PGA Frisco in Frisco, Texas, where the PGA of America has moved. And I think we've done something really cool there that is really going to do all these words that I'm trying to talk about, in that it's going to be between the two golf courses. Gil did one, we did one. I think there's going to be something really for everyone, including, you know, the short course and the golf facilities of the North Texas PGA section. They're really geared towards super junior kids. There's going to be a way that people are going to learn the game of golf at PGA Frisco. They're going to get better there, and ultimately the best players in the world are going to contend for championships there. And so that sort of accessibility is something I think that's really critical in terms of the golf architecture, but even the totality of the facility. Of it's going to be a place where even if you're a non-golfer, I think you'll feel very comfortable coming because there's a lot of entertainment and outdoor spaces with eating and dining and this village type area. And so I think that's a word we end up using more and more is this idea of accessibility, both in terms of playing the game, but also the environment in which the game is set.
So many questions that are going to come out of that set of remarks. So I'm sorry if I go in a very
That's right.
non-linear order here, but the one that really stands out to me is thinking about accessibility as something that design can provide. And you talked about designing toward the higher end of the handicap curve, the index curve, but you also talked about trying to bring it to a point that's appealing to people who don't play golf and maybe want to pick up a club for the first time or the first time in a long time. How can we, as a golf community, as a golf industry, get more people into the game through architecture? If we say to you, we don't really know what architecture is, but we'll give you something that's a good time.
Sure. I mean, I think there's lots of lessons to be learned from the word that everyone's using now is off course golf. So the Top Golfs and whatnot. I think one of the things that Top Golf's done a great job at doing is create an environment where even if you're a non-golfer, you're not embarrassed or intimidated to pick up a golf club and go do something. And I think, one of the most brilliant things to me is that very first target, right? Right off that, like you can top the golf ball into it and you've had success. And so when we've been doing, whether it be putting courses or short courses, we very much have that in mind that if you're not really even a golfer, like there's a way you can come do something and have success. And I think that's what putting is so great because anybody can putt or said differently, nobody can putt. So we're kind of all putting sort of levels everyone out. But whether it be, short course, the swing at PGA Frisco or Little Sandy, we did at Amelia Island, or the Hay at Pebble Beach, or the playgrounds at Blue Jack, whatever the ones we've been involved in, there's some element that you can almost play all these short courses almost with a putter. Like you can really play the ball on the ground and still have a modicum of success. And so I think that to me is sort of the lesson that we've taken away of trying to create this environment that's more accessible. It's this idea that you can go do something and not really be embarrassed and kind of do it again. And so we in particular, it's manifesting itself with these short courses because I think short course is like it's an easier step to get a non-golfer or let's call it a non-traditional golfer out onto the short course than sort of the big course, but also see it as a platform to ultimately get those folks onto bigger courses too.
And is the hope for these facilities and resorts engaging with short courses and putting courses, trying to create something for everybody, whether that's a guest or a non-golfer, depending on the marketplace? And if so, are they trying to come up with programming around these facilities to then try to get people to graduate, so to speak, to different forms of golf?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think design only takes you so far. I think, how they get operated and, that perception of what happens there and certainly the programming. And, obviously the PGA of America is all over, a lot of initiatives that we're super excited to be, have a great relationship there. But, whether that be, PGA Junior League or, some of the other outreach things they're doing, I think that's really, really neat. But it doesn't have to be some big, huge thing. It can be just as simple as your local club and a golf professional, like, getting folks to go do this and try this. And I think when we opened that golf course for Omni, the short course at Amelia Island, I got there the night before the opening event and I went out. It's right at dark, perfect time to look at golf, shadowy, dusk. And there was on the putting course was a father, seemingly a father and his daughter, and they were putting. And I'm like, this is really awesome. But then I noticed that there are two boys like doing somersaults. I mean, whatever, is that what somersaults would be called? Yeah, but they're rolling around on the ground on the putting course. And it dawned on me like, wait, these are the two younger brothers that like they're not even ready to pick up a putter yet, but they're out there having fun. And here's a whole family unit doing something on the golf course that maybe is not traditional, but it's like that to me is like super cool. And but anyway, I think the programming is huge, is a big part of it. And all of these things are also sort of trending towards social camaraderie, you know, all the stuff I kind of talked about in the beginning as well. And so, you know, one of the things we like about the short courses too is that they're really super fun for a really good player too, because now all of a sudden the environment is very much different. You know, it's not so much about, you know, what you write on a piece of paper as a score. It's about experience. It's about being with others. Maybe there's a drink in your hand, what have you. But we're also able to shape them because those expectations are different. We've been shaping them very differently, like maybe more bold in a way that if you were on a big course where score becomes super important, like maybe you couldn't quote unquote get away with that. So I think it becomes a whole different type experience. And that's why we keep using the word short course and not par three course. We keep trying to do them not in multiples of nine. We like them to not be that, because nine seems like a golf number, and we're very much trying to make these be something that's a little bit different.
Did golf kind of shoot itself in the foot unintentionally with an era really using the buzzword of championship golf course and trying to make courses that felt like something a professional could or would play as opposed to something the rest of us could and should play?
I think that, you know, there's always been the allure of championship golf. I mean, it goes back to the origins of the game. And I think even to this day, like still the better player has a disproportionate say on the perception of a place, because like if Ryan's a really good player and he likes this new golf course and I'm a not so good player, well, it must be a pretty good golf course because Ryan says it's a good golf course. So I still think challenging that best really good player is super important. But I think to your point a little bit, you know, maybe there's an over focus on that at the expense of thinking through sort of a bigger picture. And I think one of the things to me that's really cool about the golf industry right now is how much people are thinking about the bigger picture. And, you know, whether that be through all the stuff we just talked about, you know, in terms of design, but even like, you know, some of the stuff you're about to see with, you know, TGL and tomorrow, you know, sports, and, you know, that's been a different presentation of golf, you know, this, you know, full swing Netflix thing that comes out this week, you know, seeing golf on film versions of golf more and more, and just showing off in different light is I think is very, very important. You know, the National Golf Foundation, you know, numbers are really interesting to sort of peel back, but the two that I keep talking about a lot that I think are really cool is that if you look at juniors in the United States, that girls are now 2x what they were 20 years ago, and non-Caucasians are 5.5x what they were 20 years ago. And that to me is like, that says that to me, like we're expanding our universe, and that's, you know, that those numbers are much higher than the totality of the numbers. So that means that the totality of the numbers are going to change as these young people get older. And so I think that's really, really cool. And, you know, Seth Wall at PGA of America says it, I need to copy it down because I really like it. I probably won't say it exactly right, but he says something along the lines of, you know, maybe we in the golf need to start looking more like the rest of the world. And at the same time, maybe we can start to have some of an influence on the rest of the world. And I think that really, to me, encapsulate a lot about what I'm excited about in terms of golf right now. You know, this game's been something that's been super special to me in my life. You know, half my friends are people I grew up with on the golf course. Half my memories are with my father on the golf course. But it instilled, you know, work ethic and values and integrity and honesty. And so, like, we truly believe that we're a value-based sport. Like, why wouldn't we want to sort of expand our circle and sort of help spread, you know, the good things that we do have going on in the sport, but also be influenced by newer people coming into the game.
Are there concepts that you would like to try in your work in architecture that maybe you just haven't found the right person for yet or the right backer for? And
Cool.
if, can you illuminate on that if that exists?
I have one really crazy idea that I would like to do, but I probably don't want to say it, but until I find the right person. But I really do. But I think we're about to do a golf course with Tiger down in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, that we're going to put basically dwarf Sorcha grass pretty much everywhere. And so it's going to play so incredibly fast. I'm super excited about that. You know, and you know, in some ways it's going the opposite of, you know, keep trying to make golf courses longer and longer for these faster and faster swing speeds. But I think when you get that ball moving on the ground, that to me is when golf gets super interesting, because now you're really having to use your mind and your creativity is to figure out like what's going to happen with a shot, as opposed to just I'm 152 yards, therefore I hit an 8 iron, you know, as high as I can in the air. So more linksy kind of golf. I think that to me is the most interesting version of golf. And so I think having these, opportunities to either work in true links land or in, conditions that sort of simulate that, I think that's something that's always going to be something special I'm passionate about.
You as a golfer, have you changed what interests you about playing golf, whether that's competitively, recreationally, over time? Because I feel like the older that I've gotten, the more interested I have gotten in trying different ways of playing golf instead of hitting, like you just said, I hit a moon ball, hit stock 8 irons all day to the center of the green.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit fortunate in that my mother's half Irish and I lived in Ireland for a while and so played a lot of links golf as a younger person. And so that's always been something that I just think is so much more interesting than this other version of golf. And so I'm one that like wants to play that way, even when the conditions maybe don't even necessarily merit playing that way. I think, the idea of like, hey, I want to, hit a 7 iron and because it's windy and try to hit it with limited spin. Like that's interesting to me as a, just opposed to just wail at something as hard as you can. So there's probably that. And then, I'm all in on the short course stuff. I mean, I'm busy. And so, from a time standpoint, going and playing 18 holes isn't necessarily in the wheelhouse all the time, but to run out and go play 10 holes or 12 holes on a short course, like I got time to do that. And so it's been a way to kind of keep me playing more. And I really, really like it. And again, it sort of, it takes away the shots that are harder to stay good at, I think. And again, it gives you a chance to have some success. So I probably play as much short course golf now, it seems like, as I do, regular big golf.
All right, one last question. For facilities that aren't building that new, maybe they're deciding to make renovations or restoration projects, whatever they choose to go in the direction of, what advice would you give them when they're kind of addressing something like this in terms of what they want to accomplish for either their constituents or membership? And what's the best way to get that out of the process that they're trying to go through?
Yeah, I mean, when we do work with existing asset places, we're big into sort of a stakeholder engagement process, and we're really about setting goals and objectives of like what are we trying to accomplish. And most renovations sort of start from, needed capital improvements with golf, so-called golf course infrastructure, whether it be irrigation, drainage, bunkers, greens, tees. But the golf in the world are changing things. And so to us, like the time to think about design change to an existing place is that time. And when you have a multi-stakeholder, whether it be members or, municipal setting, whatever it is, you have lots of people, lots of different opinions. And so I think engaging in a thoughtful way that allow people to be heard, not that you can run these projects like a democracy, but I think people like to be heard, and it gives you the opportunity also then to educate, stakeholders as well about, certain considerations and factors and whatnot. And so we've had an incredible amount of success in working with existing clubs and courses, but it's because of this sort of process. And it's to some degree it's change management sort of process. But you got to realize that the game is changing and will continue to change. And I think one of the big things I would say to what people should focus on is be keenly aware of teeing grounds and approaches into greens, because what we've found, this kind of goes back to your point about championship golf. So for the longest time, it was make it harder, make it longer, whatever. But what's happening is people are playing golf longer and longer, just to health and whatever, but their swing speeds are getting slower and slower. And so they're still able to play, but they can't play from the distances that they used to play from. So everybody's needing, the older folks are needing to move up. And at the same time, they're hitting shots that are much lower in trajectory into greens because of slower swing speed. So the idea of having the ability to have shorter tees and for the ball to be able to bounce up onto a green, that will keep people playing golf longer, I think, because if it gets to be where I can't even hold a green, then why would you want to go play, right? And so I think what almost all the places we're working at, where it's like we're trying to gain length when we can, because young guys have faster and faster swing speeds, but we're doing a lot of extension of forward tees because we have these slower swing speed folks. And so you don't want at the same time, having tee boxes everywhere. So we've started to gravitate toward more of this ribbon tee or lawn tee, where it's just sort of continuous teeing ground, and it gives operators, extreme flexibility in terms of how they set things up.
Last question, because this piqued my interest in your answer. It sounds like, and I know this would probably be true, you have a lot of different kind of roles and titles under Golf Course Architect, whether that's expected Oracle, change manager. What of those different roles is your favorite in the jobs that you
So I come from a long line of accountants, and this is probably
do?
not the answer you're expecting. And so my sort of conservative grandfather would sit me and my sisters around the dinner table every Sunday and point out that the food before the family was the result of the family's hard work for the clients, whether it be that week or that year or whatever it was. And I think that's stuck with me, and it's very much in my DNA and thus our firm's DNA. So to answer your question, it's very much feeling like, hey, we're working for a client. Whether that be a developer, existing club, municipality, institutional organization, but to feel like we've been able to serve our clients and help our clients meet their goals and objectives, and that of course can manifest itself in all these different ways that you're kind of alluding to. But I think that's sort of always the starting point for us. It's really like truly trying to understand what are our clients trying to accomplish, and then try to use our skills and our expertise to help them go do that.
Well, both, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. It was a lot of fun, a great conversation, and hopefully we can do it again someday soon.
Anytime, Ryan. Thanks, man.